It's the Rokan Show on 720 WGN. All right, there are some updates on this virus, the coronavirus that is spreading in the Wuhan province of China. And there has been one confirmed case here in the United States. It's an American in Washington State who contracted it. He'd been traveling in China, in Asia. He contracted the virus, said to be doing well and expected to recover. And we're going to talk to Dr. Kevin Olivelle, who is an expert in these kinds of communicable diseases. He is an ecologist and evolutionary biologist who researches these kinds of infections. And doctor, it turns out that just right now it's being announced that this coronavirus, which has affected now, we believe the latest numbers from China were 500 patients, 17 dead as a result of this outbreak, jumped from snakes to humans. Explain a little bit about that transspecial thing and why that's so important.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ro. First of all, yeah, that snake paper just came out, I think, a few hours ago, and I'm a little bit, I'm a little skeptical of those findings. But you are right that it is an animal virus that has jumped into people. And for us, you know, the people that study these things on a regular basis, is actually not that surprising. This happens all the time. In fact, you know, about 60% of all known human diseases have come from animals. And of those that we consider emerging viruses, you know, the sort of new nasty things, about 75% of them are linked back to wildlife. So it's actually a kind of a growing and common trend that's happening around the world. You think of Ebola, SARS before this, even HIV came from primates in Africa.
Right. And SARS, did that come from poultry? What was there's a lot of concern about, especially in Asia, the parts of Asia, Southeast Asia, and also in China, in Southeast China, the way that people live sort of, you know, with other, in close proximity to other animals that obviously that they are using for food. And
that's
the kind of thing that, especially, you know, whether it's you know, moving from a chicken or, you know, some other food source animal, and the next thing you know, we're getting their virus. It mutates enough that the human system reacts to it, right? We have no antibodies for it. Isn't that the biggest issue?
Yeah, so SARS actually came from bats, and our group at EcoHealth Alliance, together with our colleagues in China, were the ones who first discovered that a year or so after the initial SARS outbreak. So we traced it back to those wildlife populations of bats. And the bats actually infected another species of animal called a civet, very likely that happened in these wet markets where animals are brought together in these sort of unnatural conditions. They would never encounter each other in nature, but when they're brought together to these live animal markets for food, that's when you see viruses spilling over. And so when the initial SARS outbreak happened, a lot of people were contacting these civet, they call them civet cats, they're like a small carnivore, that they would also eat for food. So it seems like it was a bat virus that jumped into civets to infect people.
And then it goes human to human at that point, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it really becomes a vector.
Exactly. And not all of those new emerging diseases do go human to human. Sometimes they just require contact with animals. But when they do have that adaptation for human transmission, that's when there's something really that piques our radar and is as of interest for public health.
Okay, so the thought on these kinds of super viruses that people get concerned about, and we don't know if this is actually a super virus or it's going to burn itself out, is that the more deadly ones, the ones that are going to more quickly create mortality, tend to burn themselves out more quickly, right? It's the ones that have a, you know, fairly good survival rate that can spread. And right now, as we're looking at this, we got 500 people infected in China that we know of, and they're calling it 17 deaths. So that's like 3 2/3% mortality rate, and that's with in this province of China, which, you know, the flu probably has that mortality rate too. So how worried should we be about this?
Yeah, I think you hit on a couple important points there. It is a trade-off between mortality or how pathogenic a disease is and how transmissible or how easily it can be spread. And often those two things kind of balance each other out. So this one does seem to be very transmissible but less lethal. And it's a little early, I would say, to really get a good count on the number of the case fatality rate is what we refer to, that 3% you were saying, which is of the number infected, how many have died, because there's perhaps a lot of infected cases we're not really detecting yet. Not everyone who's being monitored has gone through the whole infectious period. So that number will keep changing. But, you know, it's not extremely lethal, but it definitely seems to be human-to-human transmissible, which is a cause for concern, and that's why the global health community is really looking after this one.
You guys are always on a lookout for these things, right? Because we've made movies about these pandemics for a reason, because there's been great concern in science ever since the end of World War One, and you had we humans encountered that crazy swine flu outbreak, and so many people, you know, had such a high mortality rate. But science was different then. There were different treatments. We didn't understand the importance of keeping patients hydrated properly. We didn't have antibiotics to deal with secondary infections and other kinds of things like that. So is a pandemic really a concern, or are these just sort of going to be scary, maybe wide-ranging, a lot of people get sick events, but it's not going to be the sort of thing you see in movies where people are just dropping dead left and right?
I think it's still something we need to be on alert for. I do think pandemics are something we need to be prepared for. You are completely right that the public health infrastructure, our treatments, our, you know, our medicines are better now than they were when that 1918 flu outbreak, you know, took the world by storm, killed hundreds of millions of people. But I think one of the things that I think is not being addressed that much is prevention when it comes to these new emerging diseases. Yes, we have treatments, but with these new viruses that are jumping, it takes a long time to develop vaccines, therapeutics. You know, those are going to come down the pipe because we have the infrastructure to develop those, but it's going to take months, you know, to develop some of those interventions. But what we can do, and what we know from some of the research I've been involved with at EcoHealth, is looking at the human-animal interface. We know that SARS emerged in these wild animal markets, and this new virus emerged in these wild animal markets where people and animals come into contact. They're not washing their hands. You know, there's simple interventions, preventative interventions that could happen at the interface, which would really prevent this whole, you know, trying to wrap up the mess afterward, clean up the mess afterwards.
Yeah. At a scale of 1 to 10, I know it's very early here, but how concerned are you about this, doctor?
I think I'm between a 7 and an 8.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a solid 7.
All right, and we're talking to Dr. Kevin Olival. He's the virus hunter. Why are you concerned? Why that level of concern about this? What's your fear?
Well, you know, I think it's still early days, and I really do think it can go either way. I mean, typically I'm an optimist, but you know, I'm not going to be a doomsdayer on this at all. I think there's a lot of intelligent people and public health workers working to contain it and to develop, you know, the treatments, et cetera. But I just think it's early, and to me, that gives me a higher alert in that. Every day that the information is changing in terms of the number of cases, it's popping up in new cities through flights and travel. So, you know, I'm confident it will get contained, but I do think, you know, I'm a little more on the higher end of that spectrum.
Caution
now.
Side. All right, Dr. Kevin.
Caution side, yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again. Vice President of Research at Echo Health Alliance. Appreciate your time, sir. Thank you for your expertise on this.
Thank you.